distraction addiction. Getting the information you need and the communication you want without enraging your family, annoying your colleagues, and destroying your soul. Author Alex Soo-jung Kim Pang. Getting the information you need and the communication you want without enraging your family, annoying your colleagues, and destroying your soul. Author Alex Soo-jung Kim Pang. Contemplative computing. We want the capability to use complicated technologies without thinking about them, without experiencing them as burdens and distractions. We want our technologies to extend our minds and augment our abilities, not break up our minds. Such control is within our reach. Rather than being forced into a state of perpetual distraction, with all the unhappiness and discontent such a state creates, we can approach information technologies in a way that's mindful and nearly effortless, and that contributes to our ability to focus, be creative, be happy. It's an approach we call contemplative computing. Entanglement versus extended mind. Extending one's cognitive ability or memory sounds like an unambiguously good thing. We need a term that acknowledges that some intimate engagements and technologies feel less like extensions and more like constraints. We also need to recognize that even the most positive extensions come at a price. Nothing in our relationships with information technologies is completely positive or negative. Entanglement also suggests a degree of complexity and inevitability. We naturally distribute our cognitive capabilities across our brains and an array of devices, and we use technologies to extend our physical capabilities. It's something we've been doing unconsciously almost since birth. We're stuck with our devices. 1. Breathe. Linda Stone, a technology consultant, writer, and former Apple and Microsoft executive, called the phenomenon email apnea. Stone speculates that holding one's breath while checking mail is triggered by the fight-or-flight reflex. It reflects the anxiety many of us feel as we check for new messages in our inboxes, not knowing what new fires we'll have to put out or what problems we'll have to solve. It shows how a disembodied transfer of information that we think has nothing to do with the physical world actually does have a bodily, physical dimension. It's the kind of chronic condition that can make a person's life a little more unpleasant, and make a person more unpleasant to others. From entanglement to flow. Entanglement allows us to extend our physical and cognitive abilities, do things that we could not do with our bodies alone, accomplish tasks more efficiently, and achieve the kind of mastery that lets us loose ourselves in our work. It stretches the body's schema, the unconscious mental map of where one's body ends and the world starts. At its most intense, entanglement dissolves the awareness of any difference between person and object. You work with it so perfectly, it becomes impossible to tell where you end and the device begins. Intense concentration, loss of self, and distortion of time perfectly describe Hungarian psychologist Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi's concept of flow. The ability to merge one's awareness and body schema with a device, be it a violin or an F-15, is one that the body richly rewards. The components of flow. You can reach flow doing almost anything. Situations in which there are challenges, clear rules and immediate feedback are likely to support flow. Games and tasks that are easy to master may produce flow more quickly than difficult ones, but they can't hold people's attention for very long. Csikszentmihalyi suggests best moments occur when a person's body or mind is stretched to its limits in a voluntary effort to accomplish something difficult and worthwhile. 2. Simplify. Simple programs support your efforts to deal with that complexity by stripping away peripheral distractions, blocking the outside world, and giving you the space to think and multitask more effectively. Our so-called multitasking. We use the word multitasking to describe two completely different kinds of activities. It's important to distinguish different kinds of multitasking because we use the word very casually and often incorrectly, and a lot of what we call multitasking is something else. The good multitasking is the kind that you do when you're doing something that completely engages you. It involves the capacity for abstract thinking and the ability to switch one's attention between different objects or parts of a process. These kind of multitasking encourage flow. But the multitasking we do when we split our attention among several devices or media is something else entirely. These separate activities don't add up to a single grand intellectual challenge. They're just different things they try to do simultaneously. This is called switch tasking. Your brain is toggling between different activities, constantly redirecting its focus, tearing away from one task to deal with another. It makes us less creative and productive, addicting us to inefficiency and causing us to be more susceptible to self-delusion. Switch tasking is a lot harder for the brain to manage than we once thought. Every time you move from one window to another on your computer, or move from reading your email to listening to a conference call, your mind has to spend energy. By some estimates, you can lose several working hours every week to these moments. Unfortunately, devices like cell phones are tailor-made for switch tasking. They capture your attention by diverting it from something else. Concentration software. The next time you're at your computer, download two pieces of software. One is Freedom, a program that blocks your access to the internet for up to 8 hours. The other is Darkroom, or Write Room for Macintosh users. A writing program with a clean, simple interface designed to help you focus. 3. Meditate. Meditation stretches time in ways that are strange and wonderful. It's hard, but also immensely pleasurable. It's a purer version of what happens when you're working well. Focus is intense and effortless. Your whole mind is tuned to the problem, and you can feel a solution within reach. Meditators expend less effort maintaining attention than people who do not meditate. At the same time, meditators' attention does not get as stuck on a single stimulus. It may also improve basic perceptual ability, leaving the mind more energy to concentrate on other things. 4. Deprogram. Beliefs about ourselves and others can have a powerful effect on human performance and behaviour, in part because the beliefs are subconscious. Computers have changed our understanding of human work intelligence and memory and led us to value computer-like qualities such as efficiency, speed, and productivity more than creativity, deliberation, and thoroughness. Thinking that intelligence is fixed rather than flexible, believing that our own abilities are but dim versions of those of our digital creations, and accepting that the future belongs to our devices rather than ourselves, likewise has real-world consequences. Recognizing that human brains and computers have complementary abilities can help us move from comparing ourselves with our devices to experimenting with uses and practices that blend the best of biological and artificial abilities. Practices that create extended minds, not distracted ones. The point of such experiments is not to replace our abilities, but to augment them. 5. Experiment. Redesigning your email practices involves a bunch of small observations and experiments, but the result is fairly grand. You are redesigning your extended mind. Learn how to focus on your ultimate goals. Be mindful about the technology at hand and switch tools when they don't work. This is how you enhance your extended mind. Become a better presence and person. Become a craftsperson of your extended mind. 6. Refocus. The idea that walking helps thinking can be a form of contemplation that's been around since antiquity. Walking stimulates thinking because it offers a break from the hard-focused work of writing, composing, or calculating, but doesn't completely distract the mind. As Rebecca Solnit puts it, walking is a state in which the mind, the body, and the world are aligned. As the body moves and the eyes take in novel or familiar sights, part of the mind can still be focused on a tricky issue or stubborn turn of phrase. 7. Rest. After 2 or 3 times of disconnection from wires and wirelessness, you'll start to notice some changes. You'll discover that your world doesn't fall into chaos when you go offline. You might feel your mind slowing down a bit, but in a good way. It's the feeling of your extended mind tuning up, your attention rebuilding, the balance between the human and the high-tech parts of your writing self. Welcome to your digital addiction-free day.